Never does.
Even when he touched people in the Bible, he never did the same thing the same way twice. And so I hope that you'll be here Sunday. Yeah, but we had a lot of people gone Sunday, and it's still July and had a crowd. So I'm excited about what the Lord's doing in our church. It's going really good. And we got our problems. We ain't perfect. We got people in here full of the devil. But I'm telling you one thing, God's moving and blessing our church. So we ought to thank God for it. One old fellow told me one time, he said, well, I don't like to go to a big church where there's a lot of people. They consider ours a big church. He said, I like to keep my church small so I can keep it pure. And he thought if he kept them 30, that that was all right with God and everything. And I thought, yeah, you're fooling yourself, buddy. You got 30 people. Jesus had 12, and one was a devil. So if you got 24, you got two devils, or you're doing better than Jesus. You got 36, you got three devils. That means there's several devils here tonight. Or we're doing better than Jesus, and we ain't doing better than Jesus. But thank God for the saints. Thank God there's people trying. Thank God they... Listen, we got some of the best Christians in our church that I know of anywhere. Right here at Shining Light Baptist Church. We do. We got some people that love the Lord. And you know how you know? By their fruits you shall know them. By their fruit. But you got people that use their last dollar to put in their car to ride a bus route all day on Saturday and ride that bus all day on Sunday and fast for days and days and trying. Yeah, I mean, by their fruits you shall know them. I told somebody the other day, if I ever die, I hope I don't, I ain't planning on it, but if I ever die, I want the Lord to come back before I die, but if I ever die, I want to leave my footprint on this earth. And I want the world to know that he's been here. And that's what we all ought to do as Christians, make a mark for the Lord Jesus Christ. I got some neighbors down the road that live for me, live down below me, and they're the finest people ever was. I'm telling you, you never met such fine people. They are good. They're quiet. They mind their own business. They never get in any trouble. They never do nothing wrong. And they never do nothing right either. They're just wonderful people. And they'll live and die, and the world don't even know they've been here. Listen, brother. Cause some trouble for Jesus while you're here. do like Paul and Silas. Stir up a stink for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in McDonald's one day and holler out, the Lord Jesus loves everybody in here. I mean, do something for God. Let the world know you've been here. Amen. Make a splash. And somebody ain't going to like it, but let the world know you've been here. Here's what I want to do tonight. I want to do something different than I usually do. Take your Bible and open the book of Ezra. Back in the Old Testament, Ezra, one of the, in my opinion, one of the greatest men, prophet, or I don't know if he's actually a prophet, but he's a great writer, man, statesman, preacher, prophet in the Old Testament was Ezra, the man Ezra. And I want you to look at chapter number 9 in the book of Ezra, and we're going to do just a little quick Bible study of this chapter. And I want you to look at some of these things that we're going to see here in this chapter. All young people, listen. All you mamas and dads, listen. Turn with me to these verses. Keep your Bibles open. Don't close your Bible the whole time. And I'm going to point to different verses. Let's look at chapter 9 and verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, Ezra, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land. Hold your finger there. I'm going to stop a bunch while I'm reading. It is God's plan for His people to be separate from the people of the land. We are not supposed to be like the people in Hollywood. We are not supposed to be like Hell's Angels. We are not supposed to be like the hippies out in Asbury Street in San Francisco. We're not supposed to be like the graduates of Berkeley in California. We're not supposed to be like the rednecks that go dancing on Friday night. And we're supposed to separate from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations. That means watching their movies, smoking their dope, taking their pills, going to their parties, doing after their abominations. Amen. And who are these people? The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Egyptians, and the Amorites, and the Skeeterbites, like one old preacher said. Different wicked people that lived in Egypt, God said, you got to separate from them. He said, those people are corrupt. Not that we're any better than they are, but if you hang around them, they'll corrupt you. I just put that sermon on radio again. It'll be on in a couple of weeks on my radio program down in Charlotte. And the title of that sermon is, Show Me Your Friends, I'll Show You Your Future. And I'm telling you, the truer words ain't never been spoken except what's in this book. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Whoever you hang around. Have you noticed that people, if they start hanging around certain people, first thing, they start talking like them. Picking up little phrases, little words. You listen to me preach long enough, you'll pick up stuff from me. That's right, you will. You'll find yourself, Brother Danny said, right? Anybody you hang around, it's going to rub off on you. I know a Christian lady who watches Dr. Phil every day. Now, I ain't got no problem with Dr. Phil. A lot of what he says, I've never even watched the whole show. A lot of what he says is good, solid advice. He's a smart man. I don't know if he's saved or not. He probably claims to be. I know he don't believe right on homosexuals, and he don't believe right on certain things. But he, as far as family relationships, he's a smart man. I mean, you got to give it to him. But she has adopted the philosophy of Dr. Phil. And this woman told me, she said, Dr. Phil says. And I said, well, some of what Dr. Phil says might be all right, but a Christian ought to be able to say, the Bible says, the preacher says, the old preacher used to say, Jack Howe said, Les Roloff said. Well, I like what that old preacher was here the other night. That preacher sat right here on the front row from Texas. That night I preached on demons. Man, he got his wagon loaded, buddy. I'm telling you, he called me last night. We was out here playing basketball. And he called me last night. Boy, he told me, he said, Brother Danny, he said, man, I got it that night. He said, that was good. He said, I'll pay you a plane ticket and fly you out here to Texas if you'll come preach. And I said, I will one of these days, brother. I don't know when I can, maybe next year. And he said, man, I want you to come. He said, when I got saved, I started reading the Bible. And he said, I didn't even know what I was. And he said, somebody let me listen to Lester Roloff. And somebody let me hear Jack Hiles. And somebody let me hear. He said, I don't know what they are, but that's what I am. And you know what? Show you who a man hangs around and listens to, and I will show you what you will become. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You cannot hang around a bunch of nuts getting drunk and smoking weed all the time and it finally not get you. They're going to quit or you're going to start. They're going to quit or you're going to start. You know how I know that? The Bible said, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. If me and Hillary Clinton had lunch together tomorrow, do you know how many words would be spoken? None. I have absolutely nothing in common. I got some things I'd like to say to her. But I'd like to bless her. But as far as having any, well, hey, me and you too. You know that verse over there? And so she ain't interested in no verse. And I ain't interested in no village raising no kids neither. Me and her have nothing in common. Nothing. Nothing, brother. Nothing. The only thing we have in common is we're human beings. We probably don't agree on one thing. But if me and Hillary Clinton stay together all the time, day and night, 24 hours a day, I'd commit suicide. but you know what? Sooner or later, one of us is going to start swaying the other one. That's right. That's right. Lord have mercy, that's a terrible thought. Did you know what? Whoever you hang around, people say, well, I hang around those so-and-so, and we go out every Friday night, but, you know, and I know they drink, and I know they do that, but I don't do that. You will. You will. He said, separate from the heathen of the land. Lord, I got to read this scripture. Do it according to their abomination, all these people. Look at verse 2. For they have taken their daughters for themselves and for their sons, that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. You're not even supposed to let your kids marry a bunch of heathen kids.
It does. You know what happens when you have a wrong association? Your kids play out in the yard together, and they grow up, and they get married, and then you really got a problem. Somebody said, if a child of God marries a child of the devil, that means the devil's your daddy-in-law. That's rough, ain't it? You say, the devil's my mother-in-law. I know it is. Well, that may be true, too. But look here what he said. Verse number 3. You know, Ezra got tore up. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head, Lord have mercy, and of my beard and sat down astonished. That same word is astonished. Hey, you're pretty tore up when you do like this. I've wanted to pull my hair out, ain't you? Don't raise your hand. How many have ever gotten mad enough to pull your hair out? You've been mad. I can tell you've been really mad. How many of you got mad enough? Has anybody in here ever gotten mad and pulled your beard out? Lord, I couldn't do that. I can't grow a beard. I got a little bit right in there, but I can't. But you know what? That's mad, brother. When you just go jerk your beard out. Good night. That's getting pretty bad. And he plucked his hair out and jerked his beard out and said, we got to get right with God around here. That's what I ought to do Sunday morning. Just get up here and just rip my shirt and jerk my hair out and say, people, let's all get right with God. Well, maybe I ought to try that. Preaching ain't doing much good. And then just sit down astonished for all the abominations of the people of the land. Look here at verse number 4. Now here's what I want to get to. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel. There you go. That assembly, that's church. God wants people to assemble themselves. I don't care what they say. I don't care how many old rednecks you meet out here that says it don't matter if you go to church or not. It does matter. God has always wanted His people to get together and assemble together. Always. He always has. It's God's plan. Ever since God had people, He wanted them to get together to worship Him. That's what this building is for. This building is dedicated for us to meet together Sundays and Wednesdays and worship and get our hearts right and hear the preaching of the Word of God. Some people just don't get it. You know what church is to a lot of people? It's just somewhere to go once in a while when you ain't got nothing else you want to do. That's about what it is. Some people's idea of church is, well, if nothing comes up, I'll be there. Brother, listen, your philosophy ought to be, I'll be there. If I can, I'll be there. If I'm able, I'll be there. Brother Ray sitting over there. Raise your hand, Brother Ray. Somebody don't know him. We've been here 13 years. Brother Ray's not missed one service. A prayer meeting or something. And it's 13 years, never missed a service. And some people, one of the kids can have one booger in its nose and the whole family stays home. Listen, we're supposed to take church seriously. Seriously. If I got a job that I have to work on Sunday, I'm going to figure it out to where I can come either Sunday morning or Sunday night or Sunday. And the only way I'd do that is if I had to. If I had to. If my family is starving. My family ain't, if I can do it, when my family ain't starving, brother, I ain't going to go. I'm going to be in God's house. It's important. It's important. He said they assembled themselves together that trembled at the words of the God of Israel. Look at verse 4. You got your Bibles open now, don't you? Everybody's keeping your Bibles open. The middle of verse 4, it said they trembled at the words of the God of Israel. They didn't just haphazardly quote Scripture and joke about it and laugh about it. They trembled. When that man got up and read that book, brother, it scared them. That's what we lack in this generation. We lack people who tremble at the Word of God. Have you ever heard a preacher get up? And buddy, when he starts preaching, it just makes you scared. You just get scared. That's good for you. That's good for you. Put the fear of God in you. That's what we lack in our generation, is a fear of God. People don't fear God no more. They just think you can just do anything. It don't matter. Good old God, He loves me. He don't care. Me and Him got it all worked out. He understands. No, He don't, neither. Brother, He said what He said and meant what He said and said what He meant. And we ought to tremble at the Word of God. because of the transgression of those that have been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Now, what do we do? And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness. Do you know what that means? Look at verse 5. I rose up from my heaviness. Have you ever heard anybody say, I just got a heavy heart? He's not talking about physically being big. He's talking about, man, it's weighting me down. I'm burdened. Boy, do I know what that scripture means. Sometimes I feel like there's 1,000 pounds on my heart. Sometimes it feels like, Lord, I just got the weight of the world, the church, my family, my kids, my people's marriage problems, everything right here on my heart. And it's heavy. It's heavy. He said, I rose up from my heaviness, and look what he did. Having rent my garment, my mantle, here's what you do, people, when you need to get help from the Lord. I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Stop right there and hold your finger. He said, you know what I've done? He said, I got up, fell down on my knees, and I spread out my hands like that right there. You know what? If you'd done that, if you went to the First Baptist Church in Morganton, I've never been there during service. I've been in the building. If you went to the First Baptist Church in Morganton Sunday morning and went down and fell on your knees and threw your hand up, it would embarrass the daylights out of 3/4 of them people. That's how far away we've got from the Bible. It shouldn't embarrass you a bit. That's the way Ezra worshiped God in the Bible. They got down on their knees and they put their hands up. He didn't fall over backwards. He didn't turn flips. He fell on his knees and went about. He didn't go into a spasm, you know, and slobber all over the place, you know, roll around the floor. He put down on his knees and he raised his hands and said, oh God, listen, getting down on your knees is a symbol of submission. Getting down on your knees is a symbol of reverence. If the Lord walked in that door right there tonight, and that door opened, there wouldn't be a person in here that wouldn't just fall on our face. Like that right there. We'd fall on our face, brother. These guys over in Asheville, somebody's witnessing to them one time, and they was trying to give out tracts and stuff, and one of our guys went up and gave this guy a tract. He said, I ain't scared of him. He said, when I see God, I'm going to go up on and grab him on his throne and choke him. And I said, yeah, talk on, big boy. You talk on. I'll see you at the judgment one day with somebody like eyes like a flame of fire and their feet, brother, and the universe underneath them, and you stand out there in midair and ain't nothing but 1,000,000 miles of nothing underneath you. And you going to go up there and choke him? Yeah. Yeah, you know what you'll do? You'll fall on your face and you'll beg for his mercy. That's what you'll do. You ain't no big talk then. Listen, oh Ezra, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord. Then what did he do? Look at verse 6. And said, oh my God. Now there's the proper way to say, oh my God. That's the proper way. The improper way is, oh, she changed her hair. Did you see it? Oh my God. That's improper. That's in vain. That's taking God's name in vain. When I hear those kids at camp, if they say, oh my, when they say God's name, I say, hush, don't say that. You're taking God's name in vain. You say, well, how come it's right to say it the other way? It's the context. It's just like damn and hell. It can be it's a Bible word used right. It's a cuss word used wrong, right? There's words in the Bible that can be cuss words used wrong and proper words used right. I've been in churches where they ain't never hear nobody preach on hell, and I got up and preached on hell, and kids in the church thought I was cussing. They'd never heard the word hell in the right way. The world thinks hell's a cuss word. Hell's a place. And when you say, oh my God, you better make sure you mean, oh my God, oh Lord my God, I'm worshiping you. Not like, did you see him? Oh my God. Don't you dare say that. I'm liable to smack you in the name of Jesus like that. That's taking God's name in vain. You say, well, I just say, oh my goodness. Well, that's close. Well, oh my gosh, that's close. You notice all these Christian words we invent that ain't really cussing, but it's close. And I do it. Lord have mercy. Oh, Lordy, Lordy. Good night. Why do we say good night? Why do we say great day in the morning? That's that judgment day. Why do we say all that stuff? Just that close from taking God's name in vain. Doggone. Why do you say doggone? Because without our dogs, dogs are outside the holy city, and it almost feels like you're getting a cuss without really cussing. We're bad for that, especially in the South where we grew up talking like that. But oh my God is not wrong if you're really saying like, oh Lord my God, when I am awesome, wonder, you know, how great thou art. But if you just see something, say, oh my, that is wrong. That is wrong. That is wrong. That's taking God's name in vain. Amen? Don't say that, girls. Don't say it, boys. That ain't right. You're taking God's name in vain. The Bible said, thou wilt not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It didn't say profanity. Lord, you start profanity, you really in trouble. It just said vain. What does the word vain mean? Empty. Empty. Not meaning it. Not real. Just saying it for emphasis. I hear them boys was playing ball with Marion one night, and a guy missed a shot and got mad, and he said, Jesus Christ. And I went, oh boy. It took all I could do. Just, man, I'm telling you, I said, if he says that one more time, I was going to walk up and say, Jesus Christ, you know him? He's my best friend. He's my Savior. I mean, you know what? That ain't right. Why? How come you don't never hear nobody say, hit their finger and go, Buddha! Buddha! You don't ever hear that, do you? You don't ever hear somebody stump their toe and say, Muhammad blanket. You know, it's always Jesus. You know why? That's the devil gets in you, makes you talk like that. That name, taking his name in vain. Taking his name in vain, brother. Taking his name in vain. Okay, let's move on. Let me show you a verse of scripture that every Christian in America needs to look at. He said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is gone up under the heavens. Now, brother, are we gone a long way from that? I heard Ed say a long time ago, we're living in a generation that don't know how to blush. You know what blush means? It means you're so embarrassed about what you are or what you got on or what you... Buddy, people don't blush about nothing now. They don't blush about nothing. I've walked in people's house and they're sitting there drinking a beer. Here, you want a beer, preacher? I mean, it didn't used to be like that. They said, you know what they said? We blush, Lord. We don't even want to look up. We're embarrassed to look up there where you're at. We ought to get back to that. It ought to embarrass us. I'm amazed that people, don't get mad at me, but you go to Walmart and see the way people dress, Lord. And what blows my mind is I think it looks good. You know, Lord have mercy, I've seen some couple in there that I say, in the world, do they not own a mirror? Can they not? Woo! Please, lady, get in the other line. I mean, no blushing, no shame, no embarrassment at all. I mean, have you noticed now that people ain't embarrassed to do nothing? Nothing. Nothing's embarrassing. Somebody will come out on TV and say, I've come out of the closet and I'm gay and here's my boyfriend, and everybody applauds and like, listen, years ago, they didn't do that. It's because we don't blush anymore. You know what Ezra said? You want help from God? How to get help? I'm trying to tell you how to get some help tonight. Blush. Blush. Ain't blush that stuff, help me ladies, that you put on you put here to make your cheeks look red? You know why you want your cheeks look red? Because it makes you look healthy and more attractive to a man. And that's because it's naturally, a woman that has a natural color in her face is attractive. And that's why they sell that stuff to you. And it makes you look healthy because you got blood. If you run real hard or anything, it's natural blood. That's the way we ought to feel about our sins. Ought to just blush. Blush. Amen? What a word. Blush. I don't know who thought that up, but it said they were ashamed to blush. and lift up my face, because our iniquities are gone over our head. Now, let's skip on down here, because I'm going to have to hurry. Look at verse 8. And now, for a little space, grace. That was an interesting term. Space, grace. A little space, grace, hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place. Man, that'll preach. That our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Man, I love that scripture. I've said that many a time. Lord, would you just give us a little reviving in the midst of our bondage? Lord, the devil's getting our teenagers. The kids are getting messed up in sin. Homes are breaking up. People got on drugs. Some going to jail. Some, you know, going to juvenile center. Going, Lord, just give us a little reviving in our bondage. Can I tell you something, people? If every one of us here tonight, there's plenty of us here tonight. If every one of us here tonight would hit this altar and raise our hands to God and say, God, we're ashamed of our sins and we want to do right, give us a little reviving in our bondage, God will do it. God will do it. That's why He blessed over at the camp. Man, we got in there Monday night, Tuesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and by Wednesday night, it was getting right in there, buddy. People's getting right with the Lord, getting cleaned out, getting cleaned up, and the Lord give us something. He'll bless you. It's not, when we pray, we're not trying to talk Him into blessing us. He wants to bless us. When we pray, we're getting ourselves into the shape that He can bless us. It's not like, Lord, please bless us. Please, Lord, please, can we just get this out of you, please? He's not a person. You ain't begging hard enough. He wants to bless us. We just got to get ourselves in a shape where we can get it. And that means get right. Repent. Turn from sin. Give us a little reviving in our bondage. That's all. Everybody needs to pray that. Lord, if you just give us a little revival. Lord, just give us a little revival. I've heard people say, well, we have two revivals a year in our church, every April, every September, and a lot of that's a regular Southern Baptist tradition, and there's nothing wrong with that. But listen, brother, we ought to pray for revival in the middle of dead February. We ought to pray for revival on Wednesday night, like it's right here. We ought to pray to God. You don't just say, all right, Lord, revive us the third week in April, and then we're all going to backslide, and revive us the first week in October, and then we're all going to backslide. He said, Lord, give us a little revival in our bondage. Now, let's look at verse 10. I'm going to read a couple more of these and I'm going to be done. Look at verse 10. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go in to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands. Do you see that, people? With their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another. That's their iPod, cell phones, internet, lifestyle, bestiality, fornication, homosexuality. He's not talking about that land being dirty with dirt. Dirt ain't even dirty. That's a crazy thing to say, ain't it? Dirt ain't dirty. Somebody said, one of the kids out there eating dirt, and I said, well, dirt ain't dirty. It's got dirt in it, but it ain't really... It's got junk in it, maybe it might be, but dirt ain't. He said the filthiness of the land. He wasn't talking about dirt and mud being on their shoes. He was talking about the lives they were living. The filthiness of the people of the land with their abomination. These people were committing bestiality. You're adults in here tonight, you know what that means. That's how bad it got. That is rampant in America tonight. With big rich people living in big rich mansions in big cities. They rent, this is awful to say, I hate to even say it, they rent party dogs, German shepherds, and commit all kinds of sin. They're all over our country tonight with drugs and all kinds. He said it's the filthiness of the land. And that's why God destroyed those lands back then. It got so wicked. And so, have you noticed there's jokes on TV all the time now about all these, we carry their little dogs around. They all got their little dogs. A bunch of perverts. God said the filthiness of the land is why He destroyed them. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a dog. But I'm saying, brother, they committed filth and abomination unto God and got wicked. That's why God told them when they went in the land, destroy the horses, destroy the cows, destroy the animals, kill it all. Get rid of all the sin and all the diseases before you go in there and possess that land. He said that the people of the land with their abominations, verse 11, which have filled it from one end to the other with their uncleanness. I'm going to tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I ain't a prophet. I ain't the son of a prophet. I'm a Bible preacher. According to the Bible in the Old Testament, the God of heaven will not let a nation continue to go on the trend of America and not judge our nation. Sooner or later, America's going to be judged. And brother, when it comes, it's going to come hard. When it hits, it's going to hit hard. They're already talking about our economy getting ready to take another hit. They're saying the housing sales went up in Texas or somewhere. Wow. They say we got a bunch of new jobs. You know what them jobs are? Government jobs. Them ain't real jobs. You know where the government gets their money? From taxpayers. They just made them jobs. Like fixing these bridges and exits down here in Morgan. Waste of money. Complete waste of money. Millions of dollars being wasted. You know what that is? That's to make the public think our economy's growing. You know where the money comes to building bridges? Out of our pockets, people at work every day. It's government jobs. We're growing government jobs, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. You don't see many people starting businesses. They can't do it. There's too many restrictions. And listen, little by little, our country is unraveling. We're going to come to the place where God's people, which are called by His name, need to hit our knees again and cry out, "Oh God, would you spare our country?" Listen, people, things ain't as good as they're trying to tell us on TV. The God of the land, the God of the Bible, will judge our country. And look at verse 13. And I'm going to read this and I'm done. "And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such a deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us until thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses. We cannot stand before thee because of this." Look at that verse 13. I love that verse. "Thou hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve." Amen to that. Amen to that. No matter how bad you've got it, it's less than what you really deserve. Buddy, I tell you what. If God gave me what I deserve, He'd drop me in hell right now. Thank God He's punished me less than my iniquity deserved. And He has you too. So after He does that, are we going to go back and join in affinity with the people of this world? No way. Don't go back to sin. Don't go back to sin. Make you a new start tonight. He'll forgive you of whatever you've done. The Lord will forgive you. Miss Desi's going to come and play something tonight. The Lord will forgive you of everything you've done wrong. He'll cleanse your heart. He'll make you clean. Right now, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. Right now, you asked Him. Say, "Lord, forgive me." 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. How could we even think about it? How could we even think about going back into sin after what He's done for us? After how good He's been to us? After how He's blessed us? Amen. How could you think about it? After the abominations of this world, thank God He's punished us less than our iniquities deserve. You're sitting here tonight, you got sin in your heart, confess it right now. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. I want you to forgive me. And I'm starting all over right now."